Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, RCARE, NRC Health, TSO Life, Erdman, and Sherpa. View more and check out all things Bridge the Gap on our new website, btgvoice.com.
Hello and welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. This is our 2019 New Year episode to kick off our season two, and we could not think of a better way to do that. None other than country music star Jay Allen. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, brother.
So, Jay, it has been a wild ride for you this past year.
Yeah.
And you're living in Nashville. We're looking down your Instagram page. You're rubbing shoulders with guys like Garth Brooks. I mean, yeah. What is that like?
That's a funny story, man. Yeah, he's a big dude. Yeah, so we were invited to play an Alzheimer's Association event in San Jose. It was our first one that we did, I think, last May. And the lady that was organizing the event was taking us around and just introducing me to everyone. And I think one of the dudes was like the VP of Amazon Worldwide. Made friends with him, the like head of Twitter, stuff like that. So I was just like, okay, cool. And they're all dressed in suits and ties, and I'm like in my skinny jeans and t-shirt. I'm like, what am I doing here? And so I'm with my band, and we're all talking, we're having a drink, and all of a sudden she comes and taps me on the shoulder, and she goes, "There's one last person I want to introduce you to, one guy that wants to meet you." I was like, cool. So I'm like a little tired at this point, but I like turn over and shake his hand. I was like, oh, that's a big hand. I look up, I'm like, oh shoot, hey, you're Garth Brooks. But like really amazing dude, like just super genuine. And two of my guys are from Oklahoma. He's from Oklahoma, so they hit it off. And then we actually did the show. We performed, told the story, performed, and it was a really emotional evening. It was the first time I felt like truly, because all these people have experienced Alzheimer's in some sense, so it was truly emotional. Everyone was crying and standing. And I looked down. Garth Brooks is like right in the front row, like tears in his eyes and clapping. And I don't know why, but I made a joke out of it. I'm like, yo, I'm commanding the room. So I command Garth Brooks to get on stage and take a picture. And he did. He was super cool. He came on stage and he hugged me. And he whispered in my ear. He said, what's your mom's name? Yeah, I said, Sherry Lynn. He goes, well, tell Sherry Lynn that Garth Brooks is praying for her, thinking of her. So that's crazy. We've had experiences like that all year long.
And these stories is really, what our show is about is telling the love stories of the business.
It's awesome.
And you've been in People Magazine, People TV, you've been on ABC News, all of these different outlets, really over your hit song, Blank Stares. Can you take us back to just the journey that has been?
It's weird to call that a hit song because honestly, I wrote it just, as therapy. You know, writing songs is, I quickly figured out it is therapy, and I needed to get that off my chest. You know, it took me a long time to want to face, you know, my mom has Alzheimer's and she's going to pass away, you know, and I'm the oldest, I'm the only son. And finally I was just like, it hit me, you know, and there's a story behind that. I can tell that story if you'd like, but yeah. it hit me, and I was like, I gotta get this off my chest. I gotta write about it. And so, you know, I didn't seen it go from that writer's room to where it is now. And all the healing and connectedness and community that's come from it is just unreal, you know?
Yeah, so this story, the song, has touched a lot of people. That's what really touched me and Lucas to begin with, because, you know, what we do as our day jobs is take care of older people, and so many of them face this disease. And what was really cool, I was talking with Lucas about it, is every family, no matter what they do for a living, no matter how popular, how wealthy, you know, what their means are, this is a very like equalizing disease, right?
Right.
And so, you know, these families, they'll come into our communities and everybody takes that diagnosis a little bit different. Everybody deals with it a little bit different. I would like to know a little bit more, you know, you're the oldest in your family, I think.
Yeah, and only so, son, oldest.
Yeah, you're that adult son that hears that your mom has Alzheimer's, and you're faced with a lot of different emotions. I'm sure, And you chose to write about it, and you said, here's kind of therapeutic. So take us back to that time and what you were feeling, what you were thinking, and was this your first response? I'm going to write about it, or was it something else?
I mean, the very first response was, you know, like, you kind of want to deny that it's happening. You don't really want to face it, you know. But I'll never forget the day that my pops called me. They live in a little town in Iowa. I live in Nashville, obviously. And he said, it was 2 years ago, I think, very close to this time of year. And he said, Jay, I'd like to bring your mama to Nashville, to your home for Thanksgiving. I feel like it's my obligation as your dad, as it's progressing so quickly, to make sure y'all have this time together before it gets any worse. And I said, yes, of course, please. Well, that drive from that little town in Iowa to Nashville is about 10 hours. And every 2 hours he would call me, and he'd just be like, you could hear the nervousness in his voice. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. And I tell you what, you can't prepare your heart for your own mama to walk in the door of your house and look right through you. She didn't have a clue who I was. And that was the first time that happened to me. And it made me mad, honestly. You know, it crushed me so much, it made me mad. I've always been a fixer. I've always found a way, find a solution, you know, if something goes wrong, for myself, people I love, everyone around me. And in that moment, I knew there was no solution. And I wanted to flee. So I said, let's get out of here. So we end up going out. My pops got her dolled up. We went out to this place called The Sutler. It's a well-known venue here in Nashville. And something really cool happened right away. We walked in the door, and Eric Heatherly, an old country singer, was on stage with his band. And they were rocking out. And she heard the music, and she just, like, woke up. And she was just, like, grinning from ear to ear, tapping her foot and smiling. Like, everything about her changed in that moment. And like I said, being a fixer, I took advantage of that moment. So I grabbed her hand. I pulled her to the front of the venue in front of everyone, right in front of the stage. And we started slow dancing to a fast song and in front of Eric Heatherly. And the next moment inspired this whole song. Two steps in, she takes a deep breath. And she leans in and grabs me tight. And she whispered, I've missed you, Jay. She was my mom for a second. She's like, I love you, son. I miss you, Jay. Oh, my gosh, I've missed you. And she started crying a little bit, and I grabbed her face, and, like, that look had gone away, that, like, blank stare in her face, and it had gone away. And I about lost it, so we had to sit down. But during that trip, while they were here in Nashville, I saw that a few times. And I just couldn't shake it. I remember the morning they left to go back to Iowa. I'm just standing in my kitchen, and I write songs almost every day for a living. And I got to work really hard at it. But that morning, I could not shake a line out of my head. It was just in there. I was just like, okay, this might be the first time that God is actually really talking to me, or the first time I'm actually really listening. Because I heard this line, I still see you between the blank stares. I couldn't get out of my head. I still see you between the blank stares. It was like, for me, it was like God saying, I know you feel helpless right now, like you can't do anything, but I gave you a voice. I gave you the ability to write songs, so write a dang song, buddy. And that's what we did, you know. I remember I walked into the writer's room with my buddy Jason Nix, and he helped me write the song. And I had this voicemail she left me for my birthday, and she started talking, and then she blanked out, and I thought just like, it's like she forgot the phone was in her hand. Wow. You know, so I played that voicemail for him. I didn't even say a thing. I just said, listen to this, buddy. And he's sitting at the piano, and he goes, who's that? What the heck? I said, that's my mom. She has Alzheimer's. Today I want to write a song about it. I said, I want to give everything away. Once we write the song, get it out to the world somehow, and give everything away to charity. And he didn't even blink. He said, I'm all in. You know, so that's how it started.
That's so cool. So that voicemail that you were talking about, is that kind of what's on the front of the song?
Yeah, that's the first thing on the front of the song. I remember we wrote the song. We just wrote it, you know, piano, two guys with a piano. And he, like, tracked what you hear is he tracked it in his bedroom, in his apartment. And, you know, it's like a really rough demo. We never intended for, like, a lot of people to hear that version of it or to be on the radio or anything like that. But I kept going back to that voicemail. I was just like, that inspired the song, you know? So I was like, buddy, I think, is there a way to put that voicemail in the front of the song? He's like, yeah, easy. 5 minutes later, he sent me over a copy. I was like, yeah, that's how it has to be.
Well, it's amazing. So that song is obviously resonating with so many people, and probably helping so many people that don't have a voice and don't have ability to write music to connect. It's awesome how music is a great vehicle that even opens that window. You opened your mom's window for a moment, right?
Yeah. power in music, man. You know, I'd always heard that people said there's power in music, you know, but you don't really get it until you actually experience it.
Yeah, and so Lucas and I were talking as well, but that song, you know, I think it has the potential. I think it's already, we've already heard some stories, and I think even in Lucas's own personal life,
yeah,
we all have a story, we all have something that you feel like that song connects you with, even outside of Alzheimer's. Are you getting any feedback like that, that this song
I get messages all the time, man. Like, when everything, like, blew up and went viral, I had to put my band and, like, management on my Facebook, because I was just like, I want to respond to everyone, but I can't.
So right.
I get messages from all around the world, and the main thing that gets me every time is people say, thank you for putting into words what I can never express.
That's yeah. awesome.
So, yeah.
So take us back to the viral video.
Sure.
Tell us that story.
Yeah. So, man, it's so crazy how that happened. You cannot plan or predict anything like this to ever happen. You know, so I told my guys, I said, I've been touring all this year in this last year, and I have a 5-piece band. We're all tatted up, funny looking dudes, best friends. And we put on like a rock show. Like, it's like Matchbox 20 meets country type thing, and we're flying around stage and getting everyone dancing, but then there's this song, you know. And I always told them, I said, whether we play for 15,000 people at a festival or 5 people at a dive bar in the middle of nowhere, Canada or some, you know, somewhere, where I'm always gonna tell this story, I'm always gonna perform this song. And they're like, okay. You know, they knew what they were signing up for. And so we came through Iowa, my home state, and we were opening up for Chris Lane. And it was like a club setting, and there was like 1,500 people there, maybe 2,000. And my pops brought my mom, and she was side stage. And I ended up deciding to bring her on stage because she was just having a good night, and she was smiling, and the music was touching her. And so we grabbed her, I brought her on stage, and wrapped her arms around me. I wrapped my arms around her, and I did my spiel, sang the song, and some dude, a fan I still have not met him, was in the crowd, like halfway out, had his iPhone up, filming the whole time. And he put it on his personal Facebook, like just a personal Facebook page, not a lot of followers. And before I knew it, it like exploded. I remember the next day I was, or 2 days later, I was in Oklahoma City, and a friend said, get on your Facebook, buddy. And so I did, and that video was up, and it had like 500,000 views. And then the next day I had 1,000,000, and then the next day I had 2,000,000. It just kept growing and growing and growing. And now, you know, we have 8 viral videos and 125 million views. The last time I checked, or had someone check for me. Mm-hmm. So right. Yeah, it's just crazy, you know?
So take off your songwriter, you know, a country music star hat for just sure. a minute. There's families out there. There's adult sons just like you every single day that get that same word, don't know how to process it. They're going through all these ups and downs. Maybe they're just getting that news today.
Oh,
you've been dealing with this now for how long with your mom?
She was officially diagnosed when she was 51. Now she's 54.
So very, very early, several years now.
Yeah.
So what kind of lessons have you learned through this process that for maybe some in our audience that are out there listening and trying to get a little bit of hope, or how do you cope or whatever? What's some advice that you've struggled through that you'd give to them?
You know, what they call, first thing is they call it the long goodbye for a reason. You know, it's not like, you know, it's hard to compare, but you know, cause they're both horrible. But like, if you lost someone in a car accident, like they died right now, it's like you immediately have to mourn them. But with Alzheimer's, it's like you're slowly losing them. You know, I describe it as, it's like sand drifting through an hourglass, and just, you watch them just fading away, mm-hmm. you know? And it's almost like a daily, weekly thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, first of all, you have to accept it, that mm-hmm. it's happening, you know? As much as I never wanted to accept it and pretend that it was just not happening or just going to go away, the moment I just accepted this is real, that's the moment, you know, when God started using me to help, you know, make a change. You know, so first, accept it. It's real. And then secondly, realize you are absolutely not alone. I thought I'd never even, like, heard a lot. I thought everyone associates Alzheimer's with elderly, you know. I never heard of a 50-year-old woman having Alzheimer's, you know. My mom is 54 and she's in the final stage.
Wow.
And so she can't even talk now, you know. My uncle tried to put me on the phone with her the other day, and she couldn't even like hold the phone up to her ear or whisper into the phone, you know. She can't really walk, she's in a wheelchair most of the time. So realize you're not alone. When I realized that, there's, I mean, how many people are out there that have this, you know, like, and just be willing to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, once I put this song out there, that was the first, I mean, the first real time I talked about it was in the writer's room, you know, but then once we put this song out there and I started getting messages in, that's when I realized, man, this is how social media is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, not just to like project yourself out there and make yourself look cool, but there's a purpose behind social media. And, just, I mean, I've connected with people all around the world, you know, and, just realize there's a family out there. There's people out there that, you know, we can walk each other through this every day. You know, I'm having a really bad day today. Well, let's talk about it. You know, it's that easy, you know, and it's amazing how much healing you find through that. You know, just like, don't be afraid to, you know, show people where you're bleeding, you know?
Yeah. And so you haven't hidden this under a rock. You've written an authentic song that has...
It's the opposite of under a rock.
Yes, yes. It's so raw. It's so real. And it's incredibly emotional. And so, but you've been able to use that platform now. How many millions of dollars have you been able to raise for this disease?
Yeah. So the first thing that happened was, I wrote the song and then I handed it off to my publishing company, Sony ATV, and the president of that company, his name is Troy Tomlinson. He heard the song, he called me and, he said, buddy, you just sucker punched me. I was like, what are you talking about? What did I do wrong? He said, no. He said, I'm listening to your song Blank Stares. I'm sitting in my office with a bunch of hit songwriters and we're sitting here blubbering and crying over the thing. So you didn't know this, but my dad passed away from Alzheimer's. And, he said, I sit on the board of what's called Abe's Garden, and Glenn Campbell's wife, Kim Campbell, sits on that board with me. Would you mind if I shared the song with her? I have a big idea for this song. Let's get it out to the world. If you're okay with giving all the proceeds back to charity. And I said, heck yes. You know, what was your original question? I started deep down.
But no, exactly.
The first thing was, I mean, because of that, the millions of dollars. So the first thing that happened, SiriusXM The Highway heard the song, and I'd already had a relationship with the head programmer J.R. Schumann, and he reached out, heard about the songs. I would love to get behind the song, and we would love to play it on our weekend show On the Horizon. And I think they spun it like 123 times, like in a very short period of time. So I remember I was on there doing an interview, and I was about to do that song. Actually, we were about ready to like call the interview, and I was like, I was with Stormy Warren, like the head DJ, and I was like, man, I gotta tell the story and sing this song. And he goes, tell me a little bit about what it's about before I put you on air. So I told him. He goes, dude, he goes, my mom passed away from Alzheimer's 2 years ago. He said, you have the mic for as long as you want. You know, and because of that, when they started airing that on SiriusXM The Highway, one of the event coordinators in San Jose for the Alzheimer's Association reached out. She heard it and was touched. She lost both of her parents to Alzheimer's. And before I know it, we're performing at our first event for the Alzheimer's Association in San Jose. And like I said, Garth Brooks was there and met all these really cool people. And that was the first of many of those events that we've done. And just this last year alone, we've helped raise over $26 million.
Incredible.
Wow, that's awesome.
Incredible. And one of the best treats for our listeners is that Jay has offered to play his song Blank Stares live on the show.
You're
for
not
going to
back out on
the
smell,
I got a little bit
of
a cold, but I'll do it.
It's incredible and it's a huge treat. So that's what we're going to transition to next into the song.
Awesome.
There's a voicemail that I'll keep. Listen to it just to hear you speak. Hey, son, turns to silence just like that. No, I love you or goodbye. Like you saw the phone in your hand and you didn't know why. It's crazy how you come and go so fast. Well, how do I get you back? If I could only seal the cracks you're slipping through, wish I didn't feel so helpless when it comes to helping you hold on. So I keep holding on to every little memory made of you and me, every little glimpse of who you used to be. I know you're still in there, deep down somewhere. between the blank stairs. It's the first thing that I think about when I wake up and when I lay down. It's the last thing I feel crawling through my mind. I'm still trying to understand it, sitting next to you, holding your hand and hoping you won't fade away this time. Just stay a little while.
Jay, that song was really surreal to be able to sit here and listen to you play that live. What a treat. It's emotional, and it touches so many people. And to your point earlier, you know, there's people that have loved ones that are ailing, mm-hmm. and it could be dementia. It could be any other neurological effect. Even in my own life, my son is battling autism. And so a whole other community of that. And
sure.
It's a neurological effect very similar to dementia. It's just happening in very young people. Mm-hmm. You've heard many, many times people say, you've put into words what my heart is saying. And so my wife and I really thank you for that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. going back to a deeper connection, one of our close friends, Dwayne Cummings.
Yeah,
That was a big touch point for us and you, where he was a keynote speaker at a conference where all these caregivers and executive directors and the people that are the boots on the ground, the hands and the feet that are loving our grandparents and our aging adults. Yeah. And he got you on the phone. How did that all come together?
It's unreal. By happenstance, through a friend, someone I was working with, I was friends with Dwayne. And the day that I happened to be in town, he was in town. And as I walked in the building, they were about to go to lunch and they invited me to lunch. And we ended up having a 3-hour long lunch with him and his wife. And just told the story and just really connected. You know, I feel like cream rises, it really does, and good people end up working together somehow. And he told me he was speaking at this event, and said, if you're available, I'd love to put you on the phone. He didn't tell me anything about it, so he just put me on the phone. He's like, you're talking to all these people right now. I was like, oh, hey, what's up? But he told me it was caregivers, and for me, my father's a caregiver, my uncle is a caregiver, we have a nurse that comes to the house. It's very, those people are very important to me. Mm. What I do doesn't I mean, it matters, but for me, more what they do, the hands-on every day, that's what matters most, you know.
Well, it was a really touching event. It was touching that you took time out of your busy schedule to connect. That's actually how we were able to get connected with you. You know, we had Dwayne on our show in Nashville that same day, and you were gracious enough when we reached out to you to spend some time with us. So what an awesome time to have you on the show.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. What an honor.
Well, and just as you touched so many people that day at that Leading Age Tennessee event, for our audience today, what could you leave them with other than what we've already heard in your song?
Yeah, I mean, for caregivers, I'd say thank you. You're honest, true life angels. I do not know. God must have created you, you know, to have the heart and the ability and the passion and the patience to do what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, I consider my father a caregiver. I remember he came and visited Nashville last time, and he sat down at my kitchen table, put mama to bed, and he just sat there and looked tired. And I said, you know, he's with her every day. You know, he sees all the ugly stuff that no one else sees, you know, the really hard things. That's the love of his life, and he's having to take care of her every day. And he just looked tired, and I said, Pops, how you doing? He just started weeping. He goes, I miss your mama. You know, and the people that are taking care of our loved ones like that every day, thank you. I just can't tell you from the bottom of my heart how much that means. I don't think they get thanked enough, you know. And the people that are dealing with it, the, you know, the family members, you know, realize you are not alone. There's so many of us going through this, and we have to lift each other up, and we have to be strong. And you don't have to smile through it, because it's not a happy thing, but you can lean on your brother next to you, your sister next to you. You know.
And there's so many stories, and we're just honored, Jay, for you to take time out to come and tell your story to our audience. And we'll make sure that we find ways for our audience to connect to you. And
that's
your
awesome.
Audience is growing by the millions every day. You've touched the world with your story, and we're just grateful. And we're grateful for you coming on and sharing that with us. So if anybody wants to reach out to Jay, you can follow him. We'll put him in the show notes. Download his album and also his hit single, Blank Stares. We'll make sure we put a connection there. And thank you for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Yeah, right on.
High five.